Psalms 37. It's a psalm of David, and it's a very, very important psalm. Psalms chapter 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, or those who do not do right. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. One of three times in Psalms 37, he says, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't do the wrong thing just because someone else did wrong. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, you will diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. That's amazing, isn't it? I tell you, all of this is so awesome. Let's go to verse 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat of lambs, and they shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. And such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Did you ever hear this verse? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, oh, the grace of God, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Have you ever heard this one? We're still in Psalms 37, verse 25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. All of this is so awesome, but I think I'll stop reading there. But I would encourage you to just go ahead and finish it all out, because in your own prayer time, this would be a good psalm to meditate on in the week to come. I'd like to minister for a while this morning on how to build godly character. I've never approached Psalms 37 from that standpoint, but I felt an urge of God. How to build godly character. Rick Warren said in an interview just a few days or a few nights ago, he made a statement. He said, character is not built in a crisis. A crisis reveals our character. And I thought, man, what a powerful statement. You know, we act like just being in a crisis is the answer to everything. No, crisis does not build character. A series of crises proves what's going on inside of us, but doesn't build character. But a crisis, your crisis, mine, ours, it reveals our character. What's in us really comes out. I'm going to attempt to do two or three things that all, I see it all coming together. But yesterday we had the privilege, and it is a privilege. I know some people don't like funerals, and some people, you know, it's a negative. But, you know, the funeral director told me something. He said, you know, we've seen that trend. You know, You ought to be nice and go to funerals. Nobody may come to yours. Years ago, Mr. Shannon, I know when I was an associate minister, he told my father-in-law, he said, a man passed away, and they buried him before the day was over. Couldn't find any family that wanted to come. And so the funeral director was the final man to say whatever was said. That's been a number of years ago. It kind of shocked me at that time because people were a little quicker to respond to memorial services at that time. But you know, a memorial service to me is not just, it can be a sad bummer. It can be. And some people make it to be that. I've seen some real emotional blowouts. And then when it was all over, they just go back to being worse than they were before. So it's not the big emotional response to the passing of a loved one, but it's a time to celebrate a life well lived. And there's something we really need to dwell on. I mean, I can think of four times in the last 30 days, I hear of a gifted pastor that fell. I hear of a gifted evangelist that fell. I hear of a very gifted musician and songwriter and recording artist. I mean, the kind of people that stir your heart. But for some reason they fell. Because to fall is a decision. We all have drives. We all have desires. Someone said, well, I wish I could be like you, Pastor, and never be tempted. I said, what planet did you come from? Preachers are tempted. In fact, you'd be surprised in many of the areas where preachers and pastors and leaders are tempted. But you know, the way you avoid a disaster is to make up your mind what you're going to do before the temptation comes. If you're going to have to sit there and decide what you're going to do, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to take the line of least resistance. Now, I'm not being critical. You know, this church has a compassion for people that have missed it. Dear Lord, we work all the time helping people that have missed it. When you miss it, don't run away from church. Run to the house of God. But what I'm telling you, the older I get and the longer I preach, it's not how fancy, how fast, how articulate, how gifted, how whatever you are. It's what kind of character do you have? The man or the woman that I follow, I want them to have good character. That's important. I said that's very important. And so we had the blessed privilege of speaking for Juanita Hart's memorial service yesterday. And I called Sue Tidwell. I said, Sue, would you mind if I made reference to it? I don't ever want to take advantage of someone if it would, you know, be a tender thing. And I try to be careful in that area. But as I reviewed some of the events, now this didn't happen overnight. She was 88 years of age. She didn't start last week. She started planning her funeral a long time ago. It's amazing. And that way the burden wasn't on everybody else for the family to, you know, fuss and feud and fight and whatever. You know, sometimes families go through that. She knew what she wanted. She had it on paper. And I looked at the limos and I thought, boy, I've always been kind of a car guy, at least. And I thought, man, this is nice. That's what she wanted. In fact, she called recently and said, you know, I'm getting older and I believe my time is just, she said, I believe the time is near. And she said, I just want to be sure my wish is going to be carried through. And she had it on paper. You know, that's not bad. That really lifts the load for everybody else. It was just a precious time. And I'll tell you, Glenn did such a magnificent job, as he always does, and just bless my heart. But here's some of the readout about this life. Now, if you'll just let me be real personal. We're talking about the fact that crisis does not develop character. Crisis reveals character. The last few days have been tough days. Her little body was shutting down. It's time to go home. Go home time has come. But before that, her grandchildren saw her as the most wonderful meemaw in the world. Every summer she would use her vacation days to take all seven of her grandchildren for a week. The entire vacation week was devoted to having fun. One of her grandchildren described it as Camp Meemaw. Some other insights. She was the epitome of unselfishness. If mother had something and you needed it, it was yours. The needs of her family came first. She always made sure that her children and grandchildren had what they needed, but she also extended herself to others in need. You never left her house without something in your hand. She was a giver. In fact, just before she had the stroke that led to her final home going, she said, does Pastor Bob Nichols, does he have a grandmother? And they said, no. She said, well, I bet he'd like a pecan pie. So she was going to fix me a pecan pie. Thinking about someone else, you see. She also was funny. She was known far and wide for a quick wit. You couldn't put anything over on her. She was quick with the quips. Going further, Mother always knew what was going on in the world of sports. She loved talking about Rangers, Mavericks, Cowboys, and golf with great-grandchildren. Her great-grandchildren. She loved politics and stayed apprised of what was going on in the world and considered it a great privilege to vote. Boy, never lose that. Amen. She was determined as a child. Remember, she passed away at age 88. She was determined as a child. She lived very meagerly, but that didn't stop her from graduating from high school during the Depression. She walked a long distance to school every day and managed to receive not only a diploma, but a perfect attendance award for every year of school. Mother taught her children to follow her example. She taught us that nothing replaces hard work. We were brought up to be diligent and punctual. The three sisters knew that unless there was an ambulance at the front door, they were to show up at school every day on time. Most every year we got perfect attendance in school, like mother, like daughters. Mother was a hard worker. And I know this to be true because we saw her on several occasions. She worked for 45 years in retail at Stripling's, Cox's department stores. The only reason she retired at age 85 was because her store closed. Oh, my. During World War II, she worked while her father was in the war, did her part in the war effort, remained patriotic until her death. Toward the end of her life, Mother was not as active physically, but as she once was, but her mind remained sharp. She spent her days working puzzles, cooking, clipping coupons, staying up on what was happening. And, of course, she liked to watch the Wheel of Fortune. That was a biggie for her. Mother believed in God and trusted in God. Also, anyone that knew her for any length of time knew that she loved angels. And she was so conscious of those wonderful angels of God sent to watch over us. And finally, Juanita Hart epitomized the virtues of a Proverbs 31 woman. She has left a legacy for her family. Now you say, why did you read that so we could all profit? You say, what chapter and verse is that in the Bible? Proverbs 31. I mean, that's the outworking. You know, we preach this stuff, but it's just as important to live this stuff as it is to preach it. And as I looked at that, I don't know that I've ever done that and incorporated something like that in a message, but I just felt led of God to share it because it certainly touched my heart, and I had a grandmother like that. And again, I want to say this. You say, well, they don't make them like that anymore. What's wrong? We're made of the same clay. We may not measure up to the things they measured up to, but let's step up to the plate. Let's don't bunt. Let's slam for the wall. Let's aim big. Let's say, God, help me to be the person that you desire for me to be. Psalms 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Psalms 1 verse 2 said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, trees don't move around. I tried that one time. That tree I brought from the creek bank didn't grow in my front yard. It didn't move around real good. Be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Again, coming back to Proverbs 31, it said, her children shall rise up and call her blessed. Boy, you know you're blessed when your kids rise up and call you blessed. My message is very simple, and I come back to what I started out with. How to build godly character. I'm more interested in your character than your gifts. I'm more interested in your character than your education. I'm more interested as a pastor, because these things affect churches and they affect pastors. And you say, well, how do you tie all that in? Well, Psalms 32 and 1 said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. And you know, one day this thing's going to wind up for all of us if Jesus tarries. And Revelation 14:12 said, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Here is the patience of the saint. They that keep the commandments of God. They that keep the faith of Jesus. How many believe the faith of Jesus is good? Paul said, the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. He said that in Galatians 2. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 17:14 said, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Called, chosen, and it's up to us to be faithful. We write that third one out by the lives that we lived. And then Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh. I know I'm throwing a lot of scriptures at you, but that won't hurt you. You hear everything else in the world over a week. That's why church is so important. Clean your chalkboard. I mean, sort things out, to leave the stuff by the wayside. We hear so much stuff during the week. Revelation 21:7 said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Think about that. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now you say, what about Psalms 37? I'm glad you brought that up, because we're still talking about how to build godly character. There's seven things, actually, the sixth and the seventh that I would bring out really run together. How do you build godly character? I want to build godly character. You say, well, you've been preaching a long time. I still want to build godly character. You know, you can do the right thing for a long time and get goofy. People do it all the time. I mean, you can tell the truth for a long time, but there comes that one time when it's so much to your advantage that truth goes out the window. Real character is what we need. And the Bible said, fret not thyself. Americans are so frustrated. Many are. In fact, three times he said, fret not thyself. That means that's something you do to yourself. The driver in front of you didn't do that to you. Your wife or your husband didn't do that to you. Your boyfriend didn't do that to you. You let something cause you to fret. Something caused a volcanic emotional eruption inside of you. Who or what did that to you? Who did you let do that to you? So, as we're going through life, these are things that build godly character. Make the determination, I'm not going to come apart like a $3 suitcase. I'm not going to let life just... every little thing that happens, and I just, and everybody just says, she's just that way. He's just that way. It's time we stop being that way. Maybe our parents were that way, but let's be wiser. None of our parents were perfect. They set wonderful examples in our life, but I realize they were not perfect. But fret not thyself. No matter what happens, don't let yourself fret. Now, I know that this is so down to earth, you'll say, now when's the punchline coming? You're getting it right now. How to build godly character. Monday morning comes. What's going to set you off? What's going to frustrate you? What usually? Okay, fret not. Number two, trust in the Lord. Now, everything we're talking about in Psalms 37 is not mind over matter. This is not the power of positive thinking. Folks, we win by our faith and our trust in God. I like to say it like this: as a faith act of my will, I say no. As a faith act of my will, I resist this temptation. Because there are times your flesh would like to lean in a certain direction. There are times that your mind would like to lean. And so I like to say it like this because really we can't do it in our own strength. It really doesn't work in the long haul. I mean, yeah, there's that moment that you make a decision. But I'm talking about what builds godly character is not a knee jerk. Well, thank God I did the right thing that time. I mean, it's just, we do the right things. Like a consistent golfer. You look at Tiger Woods, man. I mean, we've all felt like throwing the clubs in the water when you see that guy. So consistent. And that's what makes a professional golfer a winner. They're consistent. And so when we come to a situation, fret not thyself. Don't let thyself be fretting. Number two, trust in the Lord. But what am I going to do about my future? Trust in the Lord. But what am I going to do about my health? We've had some people face health issues this week. Trust in the Lord. The first report's not the last report. Don't just jump off on someone else's word or someone else's news or whatever. Trust in the Lord. He hasn't failed you. Lest a roll off of years gone by. I heard him say on a broadcast, someone said, he's never failed me yet. He said, I don't like that yet. God doesn't fail, period. Never failed me yet. He doesn't fail. We fail, but God never fails. Jesus never fails. Trust in the Lord. In every event in your life. In fact, the Matthew letter said, don't worry about the clothes you wear. Don't worry about food to eat. Don't worry about stuff and things, if you let me pray. Don't worry about the stuff. You just do the right thing. You put God first, and God's going to take care of you. I've been young, and now I'm old, but I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. All right, two. I've got to hurry up here. I'm not making a big dent here. Fret not thyself. Number two, trust in the Lord. It's all here in Psalms 37. Thirdly, do good. What do you mean by that? Just do what's right. But others aren't doing right. That's their problem. You do right. You do the right thing. I mean, but everybody in the company's mad. Well, you do the right thing. Everybody's cheating. You do the right thing. You know, in the final hour, it's not going to be what they did. It's going to be what you did. Just do good. Do the right thing regardless. Do the right thing regardless. It's never wrong to do right. It's never right to do wrong. Just do right. Fourthly, delight thyself. And I wrote under that, learn to rejoice alone. Can you just be thankful all by yourself? Can you just be thankful no matter where you might be? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Delight thyself. You don't need a stand-up comic to make you delight. You don't need someone to trigger something in you. I mean, just wake up and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of His benefits, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases. Delight thyself. Learn to rejoice alone. That's a very good point. Learn to rejoice alone. When there's no one around, when there's no one in the room, when there's no one that may agree with you in a given situation, learn to rejoice alone if it has to be. So important. Learn to rejoice alone. Now there's another insight. Fret not thyself. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Do what's right. Delight thyself. Learn to rejoice alone, as we said. And then commit thy way unto the Lord. He didn't say commit your way to luck. Commit your way to fate. Don't commit your ways to the jaded news media. Stay on the God track. What God says about everything. Well, Pastor Nichols, how can I know what God says about it? That's called read your holy Bible. Read a proverb. There's a proverb for every day of the month. Read a proverb a day. Then progressively, you can go through Psalms reading a psalm a day and just stay with it there for a while. Psalms 119, save that for a longer day. Someone called a pastor and they said, can you tell me what to read and what to believe? I've got a bad case of flu. He said, read Psalms 119. They said, what has that got to do with it? He said, by the time you get through reading Psalms 119, you'll either be healed or it's worn out. One of the two. Long chapter. Good chapter. I love it. So don't commit your way to luck. Weren't for bad luck, there'd be no luck at all. One of those Shambach stories, I love it, Evangelist R.W. Shambach. Somebody came up to him in a tent meeting years ago, and he said, what's that rabbit foot around your neck? A little chain around the neck. What's that rabbit foot? And they said, well, that's for good luck, Brother Shambach. He said, didn't help the rabbit, did it? I said, well, I hadn't thought about that. There's a rabbit running around on 3 feet somewhere, 3 legs. In other words, commit thy way unto the Lord. Stay on the God track. That's what God says about everything. How do we do that? Well, it comes back in verse 5. It said, trust also in Him, and He shall bring what is best and right to pass. Do you have ultimate faith to believe that God can and will bring you out and bring you through? That's simple childlike faith. And in the meantime, you know what a meantime is? That's a mean time. I tell you, a mean time can be a real mean time, be a real testy time. But in the meantime, the Bible said, rest. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. In the meantime, we all face some mean times, layoff times, bad doctor report times, child maybe not doing what they should do, automobile failure, what? We all face some mean times, but oh, the Bible said, in the meantime, rest in the Lord. Hallelujah. Count to 10 if that helps you. Real slowly. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, that word rest can have a lot of meanings, but let me just give you the bottom line. It means to hold your peace when all hell breaks loose. Hold your peace. To be silent. You know, there's a time to reply and there's a time just to be silent. It doesn't have to be an answer for everything. To quiet yourself. I'm talking about rest. Quiet yourself. to be still, to be willing to wait. That's the problem Americans have. We're not willing to wait for anything. We want instant everything. Some people do, not all people. But to be willing to wait. You know, good things happen to people that wait. They really do. In other words, by faith, just don't go off. Don't let yourself rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Rest how? Not in the circumstance, but rest in the Lord. And then wait for God to work it out. And in the meantime, fret not thyself. Because of him who prospereth in his way. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And I love verse 10. For yet a little while. Yet a little while. Say it with me. For yet a little while. I say it again. For yet a little while. Say it again. For yet a little while. While. Didn't say for the rest of your life. Didn't say how many days or how many months. Yet for a little while. You know, every negative that comes to our lives has temporary written on the package. If you want to stamp permanent, that's your decision. But yet for a little while. Yet for a little while. The wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place and it shall not be. And later on he said, I've seen the wicked in great power, verse 35. And spreading himself like a green bay tree. Must be a tree that grows big and fast and green and so on. Yet he passed away. And lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. You know, I've lived long enough to see that. I've lived long enough to see that. I know in our first location, we had our youth services going, and man, I mean, it was an awesome time. And somebody put in something right across the street and had somebody out by our doorway saying, no, not over there, over here. Now, you know, young people, they're easily impressed anyway. And maybe their band was a little bit louder or something, you know. But, I mean, really, I mean, it was like a hawking something. No, not over there, over here. And we'd spent a lot of money on that youth move, and we'd taken a lot of time, and you know, we'd seen God do some awesome things. And that's just one time. I was ready for a derailment about that time. And I drove to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I talked to Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. I said, I need to see you. He said, okay, okay. So we sat down, and I told him what was happening, and if you knew anything about Dr. Hagin, he'd twiddle his thumb. Yep, 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 yep. And I was trying to raise my voice a little bit because I felt like I wasn't impressing him sufficiently with the desperation of my circumstances. Yep, yep, yep. And Brother Hagin was Brother Hagin. Dad Hagin was Dad Hagin. And finally, when he got through, I just was quiet. Well, he said, Brother Bob, he said, there'll come a day, it won't be long, they won't even be there. And the great faith man that I am, I envisioned that brick two-story house. And they were funded, and you know, some very permanent things about that situation. And it was really causing confusion in the lives of young people, you know, which place is right, you know, who's the real deal, you know. I just hate ungodly competition. It's just, I don't like it. But he said, a little while, I won't even be there. Well, you don't argue with Dad Hagin, so we talked a little while and prayed a little bit, and I turned around and came back to Fort Worth. You know, it wasn't long, and I looked out the window, and there's a bulldozer over there taking that house down. I mean, the whole house. They leveled it. You need to praise God for that bulldozer. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. That's what you preachers always say. You know, everything. No, yet a little while. And I didn't wish them any harm or ill will, but it was just causing a lot of confusion. And, you know, it just, you know, one of those days, one more brick made a load, you know how that type of thing goes. But he said, it won't even be there. And you know, the day came when I got a very sincere apology from those that led that and said, we are so sorry. We didn't do the right thing. Would you forgive us? And so, you know, it all came out okay. But it was a test of faith. It was a test of faith. It was a test of temperament. And my character probably didn't make 100 on that test. I got a grace pass, but do you see? You know, we just have to learn that whatever happens, and I don't mean whatever will be, and that we don't use faith and we don't stand on the promises of God, but just stop going up the wall like a cheap window shade. Every time something goes wrong, you know, there we go again. What does it take to set us off? And you finally get to the point when you're on the freeway and someone gives you the sign of international disgust that you just pray for them. What else? What are you going to do? You're going to run them down? You're going to wreck your car? You're going to lose the victory? Hey, pray for them. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. Cease from anger. Fret not thyself. And in 37:10, more meantime truths. For yet a little while, the wicked shall not be. I've seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree, but he passed away and he could not be found. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. I just want to speak my heart to you today. Good things come to those who wait. An adversity or crisis does not build character, it just reveals character. And you know, as a pastor, you deal with all level, all kinds of personalities, all kinds of responses. You think you got something cornered and it jumps the track, you know. You just know that somebody's making progress and then they just go off the cliff and do something crazy. You know, you face those things, but you can't quit. You can't get negative. You just have to hold steady. You do your best, you fire your best shot, you do the best you know how to do. But you know, I've learned, do everything we do is unto the Lord, and then you'll not be disappointed. Anytime I feed someone that needs to be fed, I said, I do it in the name of Jesus. Do all that you do in the name of the Lord. We're talking about building godly character. So here's a woman, 88 years of age. She's been building godly character for a long time, doing the right thing, working hard, getting her education, being a faithful person, and leaves a legacy for a family to follow. I found myself singing a little song the other day. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. No matter what anyone else does, no matter what anyone else does, you do the right thing. You hold your peace. You trust in God. But they go to church and they're supposed, you do the right thing. Because I will not stand in the day of judgment for you, nor you for me. All of our deeds will stand alone. Because God knows the heart. Boy, the cry of my heart is, oh God, help me. Help me to continue to build godly character. You never get to an age when you got it. You peak out. Sorry, you've already arrived. And I'm telling you, you know, in a time in the last 30 days, I hear 3 or 4 more blowouts of people that had it together at one time because I knew them personally. But it all comes back to our decision. Let's do the right thing by the help of God. And let's ask God to just help each one of us to make a difference in people's lives. It makes a difference how you live. I said it makes a difference how you live. It makes a vast difference how you live. Praise the Lord. And I want to so live. I remember Pastor Albert Ott over in Dallas, pastored Bethel Temple. I used to hear him on the radio when I was a young man growing up. And I've heard him so many times in those years gone by. He said, I want to so live that when I stand before God, he'll say, you did your best. You did your best. And I heard him say that many, many times. That's a very simple expression. That we were perfect? No. That we did everything just perfectly right? No. But that when I stand before him, I say, I got to give you credit. You did the best you knew how to do in that situation.